Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepherd. I'm here in Los Angeles, I should say, and just wanted to say good morning to everybody. The name of the show is Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money, which we think is a very interesting area, and we're finding people are responding in that way. Let me do a little disclaimer and get that out of the way, and then we'll move on to the show content, which I think is very interesting today, which is about due diligence and researching properties and working with people that have what they say they have, and you know that when you get involved with them. Okay, so this show is intended for the listeners only. All information investment-wise contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. in any manner or Ken Shepherd. Creative Flips, Inc. and or Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show or for any consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that could help you to understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So we're going to do a little other housekeeping stuff, and then we'll be off into the content of the show. Okay, so the call-in number today is 347-989-1329. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. No charge for the show. All the stuff in the archives is all free. This is all designed to help people do better and have more commerce. In our 30 years of experience, we're just giving it all away to help people learn. I've been in this business over 30 years, closed $26 million in recent deal flow, have over $400 or $500 million in process right now. Did a soft proof of funds recently for $500 million. The website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. You can look at our resume and accomplishments tabs, join our website, which some people have done, which we appreciate, by the way. Telephone number 247-310-358-7087. Email fci@peckbell.net. Both 24 hours. Cell phone 9 to 5 California time, 818-585-9706. Twitter at Ken Shepherd. Facebook is Facebook/Ken Shepherd or Facebook/Creative Flips Inc. There's over 140,000 investors you can reach in a free environment. It's just go to kenreradio.com, kenreradio.com, and sign up there and learn about what we do. There's free options there. It's really exciting. We are affiliates for premium accounts. We run a class Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 in the morning, California time. It's a network thinking think tank, 20 people maximum in the room, $20 a person. Very exciting. Lots of great people in that room. Phone number for that, excuse me, the email for that, if you want to join us on that, is kenshepard51@yahoo.com. That's my name, kenshepard51@yahoo.com. Just put mastermind class on the subject line, and we'll get back to you with the details on that. So we are talking today about due diligence, research, and protecting yourself. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story about what happens when you don't have the right kind of due diligence. And it's a really sad story, but it happens all the time. It's a gal that came to me recently, and she had a deal she was trying to do. A deal really didn't make a lot of sense. She didn't have the understanding that it didn't make a lot of sense. At least in my opinion, it doesn't. It might to other people, but it doesn't to me because it doesn't have a lot of discounting in it. It doesn't. It's basically you're buying a cash flow. You're not buying a discount. So, but they do have the ability to do some add-ons and make it worth more later, but they don't have the capital and the balance sheet and that kind of stuff to get the thing going. So what they did was they hooked up with a group, and there are people like this all over the country, so be careful, that said to them, oh, yeah, we might be able to help you get finance, and why don't you give us $10,000 as a retainer, and we'll see if we can help you. Well, they gave them the $10,000, and they have not got funding, They brought me a group yesterday that they wanted me to go sit down with, where we provided 150,000 evidence of funds, and then they take a look at the deal to see if they can 100% finance it. I know what they're trying to do. It made no sense to me. I asked them for resumes. No, they wouldn't give any of those. I asked them for anything they've closed last year. No, they wouldn't give any of that. So when those things happen, you have to wonder, are you dealing with somebody that can really get something done? We work with attorneys, CPAs, bank officers, securities officers, title and escrow officers, because these are the people that get things done and know the commerce of the real world. That's what we like. If not one of those six people is in the deal, you need to bring one of those six people into your discussion. That's our opinion. I had a call on the other day named Vicki Morris. We're going to bring her on again Friday to talk more about escrow and what it's all about and all the protections you need and all the things you need to do. But at the end of the day, you have to do your due diligence. And part of that is if somebody says something to you and you're referred to them by somebody you trust, that's either a friend or a colleague or a real estate agent or an attorney or CPA, bank securities officer, title or escrow officer, then you might go ahead and give it a little bit more leeway as to what they're saying is valid and deliverable. If you're finding them on an internet website or you don't know them and they're contacting you out of the blue or whatever, I would say to them, you really do need to provide us with something in the form of an attorney, CPA, bank securities officer, escrow or title officer, just merely a confirmation that what you're offering to do is available and deliverable. Because many times what you'll find is somebody will call and say, I can get you $50 million worth of non-performing loans, and they're not next to the seller, and they're not the seller. So I don't mind paying people to get to the point of getting to the seller or the person that's next to the seller, but unless you're one of those two parties, we need some kind of confirmation that you have the authority to make the deal. And if you're not able to do that, then we're probably not going to be able to do something with you because you're not willing to be transparent. We could sign non-circumvention, non-disclosure agreements with you and all of those kind of things, but at the end of the day, we have to clear that pathway. Once we get to the person that's next to the seller or the seller, we ask for the same kinds of drill-down documents, unless it's a bank, of course, or something like that, or an attorney, or one of the folks that I just mentioned to you. But if it's just another, not just another, but if it's a source that's not one of those folks, then we would want to see a letter of authority from them, that they have the authority to market the asset. If you do things this way, the chances are much better that you're going to get something done. Because when you're working with people that don't have what they say they have, then you're wasting your time. And a lot of people say, well, I have this tied up, and then they can't prove it to you. And what they're really trying to do is get you to give them the money so they can get it tied up. And a lot of things go on like that. So unless you're getting referred in from a very reliable place, then you have to do this kind of due diligence. And this sad story about this $10,000 I just told you was because they did not do their due diligence. They did not check the people out. They took a referral from a friend. And that's okay. You take a referral from a friend and you could talk to people that have closed with them in the past, that's fine. But what you don't want to do is write any checks to anybody unless you know who you're writing the checks to. What are their resumes look like? Have they closed things in the past? Have they closed this kind of deal in the past? Are they the kind of people you want to do business with? And the only way you'll know that is to go through that process. So we have a methodology, and it's worked very, very well for us. We've developed along the way of 25 to 30 years of doing this stuff. And we work through attorneys and people like that to make sure that we do it right. And we make sure that we tell people in the nicest way we can, you've got to perform. You've got to deal. You've got to perform in order to work with us. Now, we have a letter we can send you if you want to see the form letter we can use, and we can send you the NCND, which is non-circumvention, non-disclosure agreement. If you want to see that, I'll be happy to send that to you as well. All at no charge, just to see how we do things. Then you decide how you want to do things based upon what you have from us. Due diligence and research, I can't express how important it is. Every deal is going to be different. You have to look at the assets. In real estate, there are no two assets that are alike. There's no two locations that are the same. There's no two properties that are the same. You just have to look at all the elements of the deal. What's involved? Who's involved? What's the story? How do you drill down? And you have to be nice about it, but you have to be, continuous about it. You have to be dogged, if that's a word to use here, is just kind of stay on top of it and really, get into the meat of the deal. I mean, if you're If you don't do that, the chances are the next guy you go to who you're going to want as an investor is going to want you to do that. And if it turns out that it isn't a deal that makes any sense, then that investor's never going to come back to you because they're going to feel like you didn't do your research. So you have to do your research, your homework, your due diligence, and you have to check things out. And if, for those that don't know what due diligence is, it's simply another fancy word for research. You want to make sure you check into anything and everything you can that it's what you're told it is, okay? Whether you're buying a house, whether you're buying a shopping center, whether you're buying land, whether you're doing note purchases, it doesn't matter. This is true in business. Anytime you do business, you want to be sure you're doing business with the right kind of people, because a lot of people will come to you that don't have what they say, unfortunately, and they won't be the kind of people you want to have in your stable. And that's why we like attorneys, CPAs, banks, securities officers, title and escrow officers, because they have licenses, they have positions to protect. They're not going to say something that they can't support, because if they do, they're going to look silly. And in some cases, it could be a problem with their license because they're telling you things and you're going on the basis of what they're saying. So we're not saying that we would hurt their license or anything, but the fact that they are licensed means that they went through a lot of education and a lot of experience and a lot of testing before they got that license. Licenses like these don't go out that easily. Believe me, they don't. So you have to go through years and years of college or years and years of training to be able to get to the point of having these kinds of positions. So we always recommend that, because that way you know when you're opening a deal, you're dealing with people that you potentially could close with. Like, I'm working on this deal in Chicago that I've been talking about for a while. We finally got to the guy who actually is the asset manager. We've been talking to him and trying to structure the deal. Now he's writing to us, asking him how we're doing with the deal. And now we're going to be speaking today with the lawyer who represents the borrower in the deal, because everything seems to be moving along. It's not moving at the pace I'd love to see it move at, but it's getting there. And after probably 6 months worth of work, we'll make $100,000 to $150,000 on a one-day close. Now, that's just my opinion. Excuse me. It may be more. It may be less. It may be much less. I don't know, because we still have to negotiate with the holder of the note, but I think we can get the note for $600,000, and I think the profit's going to be about $725,000. So, therefore, we spent $600,000 to make $725,000 or $750,000 in one day, and so there's the profit. So, we're all about due diligence, we're all about research, and we're all about closing, okay? You've got to start at the beginning. When somebody brings you a deal, you have to start with the research. You have to start with people you know, people you trust, and people you think can help you get the deal done. And that's what goes back to building your network, finding those attorneys, those CPAs, bank securities officers, title and escrow officers that you can use to help you get your deals done. We'll help you find those people if you reach out to us. You've got to reach out to us and ask us, but we're happy to refer people to you that we think are good. We had an attorney on the other day, Pat Jones. He gave out his phone number and his email address. He's a contact for you. We have the escrow officer that we just got on the phone the other day with, Vicki Morris. We're going to get her on the phone again. So you've got these people available to you. And when you take courses, and I'm nothing against education, but when you take a course and you're not with the people that are actually doing the business in the real world, then you've got to find those people, or you've got to have the access to those people. And most of the people that teach those courses are not going to give you their resources. You have to find your own. So we're unlike that. We'll give you our resources. We'll give you everything. We'll give it all to you for free. And the reason we do that is we want you to do deals, and we want to be part of those deals. And sometimes if you guys get together and do stuff and you meet each other, or, you know, you go onto the 140,000 investor site and you hook up with people and you do deals, just tell us you closed something. We don't have to be part of it. We just want to see you close. Because if you close something, there's a lot of people that are involved in every closing, and it creates jobs in this country. And we really, really want to see jobs created in this country. Okay, whether it's rehabbing a house, whether it's escrow, title, all the lending people that are involved, whoever's involved, an appraiser, all these people that are potentially involved in a deal means they're getting paid and they're feeding their families. So that's what it's all about to us. So research, I cannot stress how important it is. Now, when I first got involved in the business, I didn't do that research. I didn't know how to do that research, nor did I know to do it. But I did learn, because I come from an accounting background where I know that you have to do your to check things, I learned. I learned what to do, I learned who to talk to, and I learned how to get it done. Now, I made my mistakes in the beginning. I will admit that. I made some mistakes in the beginning, but I was able to recover from them, and everything worked out okay. The first house I ever bought, we lost $8,000 on. But the second house, the third house we bought with the same investor, we made over $100,000 with. So we did very well in that with that package. We lost one, we made two, we netted about, I don't remember how much we made. We made a lot of money with him. And then we did more business with him after that. And I met him. I think I told the story of how I met him in one of the other shows. So essentially what I'm saying is so important, and I know I'm enthusiastic about it, and I am purposely, though, is because you really do need to do your research. You need to know who you're working with. You need to know they have what they say they have, unless they're one of the six categories I just mentioned. Somebody walks up to you and says, look, I've got $100,000 that I can invest with you. Ask them for a soft proof of funds. Say, look, can I get something from an attorney, CPA, bank, securities officer, title, or escrow officer that you've got this money? I don't need to see your bank statement or anything. And sometimes they'll show you a bank statement when you do that, or they'll get you something, or they'll get you on the phone with their CPA or whatever. But if they say they have the money and they don't, and you go try to put the deal together, and now you can't because you counted on them and they don't perform, then what? We're involved in another deal. A guy calls me today. He has $250,000 down in a property worth about $5.4 million. He can buy for 4.7. The seller will carry $4 million, so he needs the difference. He needs about $400,000 or so to close the deal. He doesn't have the equity in the property, nor does he have the equity in another property that he owns, which is a mobile home park worth about $1.7 million, and he owes $1 million on that. So he's highly leveraged on both those properties. But what he does have is he has cash flow from his mobile home park of $160,000 a year, and he wants about $500,000. So and it's going to allow him to start a business that's going to make a ton of money. So we may very well give him that money. We're trying to arrange for it right now using not the security of the real estate, but we're going to take that as well. But we would take the two pieces of real estate in second position, and we would take all the cash flow that's after debt service on the mobile home park of $160,000 a year so that they can pledge that as additional revenue to us to pay the debt. But the point I'm making is, here's a guy, another guy, who counted on somebody to help him. He thought they were going to be able to help him. They got delayed and delayed and delayed. He kept putting up more and more money for the lease option payments. Now he's put $250,000 down and he still hasn't been able to close. He's supposed to close by Saturday and put up another $500,000. So he's in a bit of a pickle. So we're trying to help him by showing him a proof of funds so he could show that to the seller, so the seller will extend for him, and we can get him financed. But at the end of the day, it's back about research. For whatever reason, he wasn't able to get somebody that had the ability to close. And if they didn't close, they didn't have any security vehicle behind their promise to close. One of the things you can use in a big deal is if somebody says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, is you can have them issue what's called a standby letter of credit. And if you call any bank anywhere, they'll tell you a standby letter of credit is a promise from a bank to guarantee that if the person who's supposed to pay you or do what they're supposed to do doesn't do it, the standby letter of credit is a letter from the bank that the bank will pay you. So you know you're going to get paid. And then you could feel much more comfortable doing the deal because you know there's security for the deal. I've seen deals before where people did not have these kinds of securitization positions, and they've lost millions. I know one guy that tried to do a motion picture, didn't have all the funding, thought it was coming, it didn't come, and he lost $2 million, never even started shooting, only got the pre-production. Sad, happens all the time. I don't want it to happen to any of you guys, so we're trying to give you as much as we can in the way of real, sincere information on how to make sure that doesn't happen. So anytime you call an ad in the paper, just ask them if they own the asset. If they own the asset, then say, okay, what's the address? Fine. I'd like to, you know, if it's not listed in the multiple, I mean, if it's listed, then again, you've got somebody involved with a license. But if it's not listed and you're buying from a seller, you want to make sure they really have that property. Vicki talked yesterday on the escrow call about people that buy property, or maybe she talked about it, or maybe she talked to me about it before the call, people that try and buy property that don't even own it. You know, and so she has to check the title and she has to check all this stuff out. And that's why if you put these kind of people around you, an attorney, CPA, bank securities officer, title and escrow officer. You will have a cocoon of people that will help you make sure you don't get into any weird stuff. And you make sure you can close your deals and you can get paid. Because the frustration of not being able to close when you put all that time and energy in with people that tell you they have what they say they have and they don't have any of these licenses, and maybe they just, you know, either took a course in real estate or they're maybe just, you know, a fast talker or not doing what they're saying they're doing, and, you know, whatever, you can find out. You know, you can be kind of like a detective, but you don't have to be like, you know, really hard-nosed about it. You can be very soft and genuine about it. Say, would you graciously provide me with this? Would you kindly provide me with this? And you say gracious and kind. I'm amazed what people will do when you say gracious and kind. I just am amazed. They're just, they think, my goodness, this person is so polite to me. Why? How can I hurt this person? I can't hurt this person. Now, it doesn't mean they won't. It just means they're less likely to hurt you if you be polite and you just carry yourself properly. So what we're talking about here is research, due diligence, and getting it done right. So when you call something in the paper, just make sure they own it. If they don't own it, do they have a contract on it? If they have a contract on it and they don't want to share the contract price with you because they're flipping it to you and they want to make sure that they close on it, they may have money to close on it, and they're looking for you to buy it from them, then just get something from an attorney, CPA, bank, securities officer, title, or escrow officer that what they're telling you is valid and deliverable, because otherwise you may find that you do all this work and nothing happens. And that's horrible. So we like to work with stuff that's either tied up, under contract, tied to people we trust, tied to people that we know, and little by little we're building that base over time, over many, many years, so that when we talk to somebody we can trust them because we know them. But if we don't know them, we generally say, who are you, in the nicest way? Where's somebody with one of these credentials? How do we know what you're telling us is true? We're not saying you're not telling us the truth. We're just trying to confirm it. We're trying to protect everybody, and we want to move forward with you and try and close. That's basically what our introductory letter says to people that we don't know. And either they respond to it or they don't. I have many people that say to me, why should I answer those questions? I say, because the only way I can proceed with you is if you do answer those questions. Well, how do we know you have what you have? Well, I'm willing to go right toe-to-toe with you and show you that we have what we have. If you'll show me that you have what you have, we'll do it simultaneously. That's not a problem. But the point is, you have to be willing to come to the table. If you say you have control of a property that's a $1 million asset that you can buy for $500,000, do you have it under contract? No. Do you have any money in the deal? No. You know, whatever. You have to be able to show people transparency. Transparency is probably one of the most important words that I have ever learned in my 30-odd years of doing business. Actually, much more than that, because I've really been doing business since I was 20 and I'm 60. So that's 40 years of business. Plus, I was a bit of an entrepreneur all the time, and like, even when I was 10. But when I sold my first business, I was 15, I sold my first business to a janitor. I had a window washing service, and I didn't even know what I was doing, and I got the money so I could go to a music camp. But anyway, the point being is that it's all the same. You always want to do your due diligence. I don't care if it's a $100,000 deal, a $10,000 deal, or a $100 million deal. The due diligence is exactly the same. And we talk about it over and over and over again. And you probably say, God, this is boring. Why do I have to do this? Because this is how you protect yourself. So you don't lose $10,000 like this poor gal, I think, is about to lose. Unless she decides to fight it or take them to the authorities or whatever. I don't know what she's going to do. But I can't do any more for her because she'd already spent the money before we got involved. And we looked at the deal and we said, this doesn't make sense. And then we got on the phone with these guys and said they're going to bring the money to the table, and they want us to show $150,000, but they won't even show their resumes or any of their accomplishments. Anybody I know that's a legitimate person will always show you their resume. And the reason they may not show you their resume is they haven't closed anything, and they want your money. And they took $10,000 from this girl. Now, if they show you the resume and they haven't done anything, but they don't ask you for any money, that's okay. I work with people all the time that never closed anything before. So they show me their resume. Maybe they used to be a school teacher and now they're getting involved in real estate. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Not at all. But when they say, I used to be a school teacher and now I'm getting involved in real estate and I want you to give me $10,000 so I can help you with your deal, I have a big problem with that. a big problem with that. I don't think it's right. I think it needs to be stopped. And I think any time you ever come across anybody that wants anything from you before closing, unless they're a check writer, don't do it. Don't do it. Processing fees, all this craziness, I would never do it. Unless they're writing a check, I would never do it. For a dollar or $1 million, I just don't believe in it. I just don't. And I think it's very dangerous when you pay money and you don't get delivery. Now, sometimes when you work with somebody that has a good history and they're not the funder, but they're next to a funder and you can look at all their history and you can find out that they actually are next to a funder and they want a small due diligence deposit, so there's, you know, have something up from you that's refundable if you don't close, and part of it may be non-refundable for expenses and stuff, and it's like $500 or $1,000. Okay, I sometimes can agree with that if I feel comfortable enough with the people that I'm working with. We have a situation like that right now where a guy came to me through a CPA, and he brought me to another guy who is direct to his financing sources, and he's closed a whole bunch of stuff, and he wants $1,000, though, in order to take a look at a deal. And we said, well, how can we confirm you've closed all this stuff? And so we got much more comfortable with him. We talked to him. And now we're seriously considering doing this deal with him where we will give him $1,000. However, we haven't done it yet. And the reason we haven't done it yet really is because the borrower has just been very, you know, flaky in that deal. But the point is that the lender is saying they want $1,000 and they're not the direct lender. If they're a direct lender and they're a check writer, and you can confirm that they write checks, you may have to pay a due diligence deposit. You may have to pay a research deposit. You may have to pay a number of things before you close. It depends on if it's soft money, meaning really, you know, like bank financing, or if it's hard money, like private financing. Even when you go to banks and you put a loan together, they want money from you when you start a commitment. They want money from you before closing. So a lot of things you can't do without capital before you close. But you could raise that capital. We've talked about that in other shows. But the most important thing is just don't give anybody money unless you know who you're giving the money to. If you're sitting at a major bank and they're saying we have to have $5,000 to do our due diligence on this deal, well, now you're sitting in a major bank. You could feel comfortable that they're really trying to get the deal done and they don't need your $5,000. But you still should have everything checked out by an attorney, always. Don't sign anything, don't fund any money without having an attorney look at it, and make sure you research everything. Research, 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 due diligence, due diligence, due diligence. So we have about a minute and a half left. I know I've shared with you a number of things. The bottom line is always do your research. And don't be afraid to ask. And when people back up and they don't want to give stuff to you, there's a reason for that. I mean, we always offer a proof of funds constantly. Most of the time people don't want it because they trust us that we have it. Otherwise, we wouldn't say we have it because our reputation precedes us. You want your reputation to be solid. You want to be honest. You want your veracity to be top notch. You want to make sure people trust you, and you want to feel that you can trust them. But all of that comes down to, as I said, research and due diligence. Who are you working with? What are they saying to you? And how can you work with them to get something done? Okay? So we're very excited about what we're seeing. There's a lot of business out there. We really think that we can work with a lot of people, and we think that we're having a lot of people call us and send us emails and do things like that. We welcome you to call into the show. Vicki Morris is intending to be our guest this Friday. I have to do a little more research before that with her. And I'm not sure what the subject of tomorrow's show will be, but I'll come up with something. And we'll continue to build this education base. You can go into the archives and learn as much as you can. Any questions you have, we're always here to help. And we really do want you to succeed. I truly mean we do want you to succeed. Anyway, with all that being said, I have about 10 seconds left. I'm going to say have a great day. And so I hope this has been a good education for you, and I hope that you're learning from us. Enjoy yourself. Become prosperous. And take care of your family. Have a good day. Bye-bye.